Today's episode of Fantasy Fiction is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction.
Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Kindle, MP3 player, or Magic Stone.
Today we're recommending A Game of Thrones by George R.R. Martin. Impress your friends with real-life magic. Act like you read a long book without any actual reading.
Think of all the masturbating you'll get done.
So if you're enjoying the show, give the free trial a chance. That's audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction. Enjoy the episode. Reese's, put down that Merc Monk.
But he's my friend.
In the land of fantasy, on the fields of fiction, there rode two knights across the plains. Two thieves of the night, two warriors of honor. In the shadow of the mountain, cry their name.
Until the deed is done, until the quest is won, the battle's in our minds, until the end of time.
Hey everybody, welcome to Fantasy Fiction episode 50. Oh, you might be like, who are those other voices? Well, one of them's Josh. You know
Hi.
That guy. The other one is our good friend, Chad.
Hi, Chad. Everybody. How's it going?
Chad, how do people know
you?
What are you?
You might old know me from the past on the YouTube realms, but probably not anymore because I've moved on for greener pastures. You might know me from the podcast I do with Dom, called Goosebuds.
Goosebuds,
baby.
If you haven't checked out Goosebuds, please go check out Goosebuds. We have a great time doing the show.
Freak over cover Goosebumps books, young adult novels. Josh is going to be on it pretty soon. I know he has to. I'm going to make him do it.
I wanted to be on it at Christmas time, but then you things got messed up.
I know things got a lot of terrible things happened. You know, this is weird to describe how you might know me from, because if I say Goosebuds, clearly, Fantasy Fiction is the flagship show podcast that everyone listens to. This is meaning, like, you might know Billy Crystal from the party of Billy Crystal's nephew that he went to that one time. I guess that feels like a compare.
No, that's not true at all.
It
is
Goosebuds.
Though.
Well, Goosebuds is kind of my favorite podcast because Goosebumps. Yeah,
this podcast.
This one can suck a dick.
Happy 50th episode.
Goosebumps is a lot of fun because it's one of those things where I'm reminded of how much my life actually sucks. I mean, like, let me go. What we do is we read Goosebumps and then we talk about them. Uh-huh. And every time I do the show, get prepared for the show, read the book, I go, why the hell did anyone my age read this garbage?
Arl Stein, you goddamn charlatan.
Dude, that was like the only thing. In fifth grade, we had to do like these book reports, and Goosebumps books were great because they were like 90 pages.
Wait, you got to do a book report on Goosebumps?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Wait, sorry. Off tangent already on Fantasy Fiction. Did you guys do anything in the Philadelphia area where it was like a statewide test on reading comprehension where we got points for how many books you read? Is that what you're saying for Goosebumps?
Book It.
Yeah, we had Book It. We took like an online test. Based on like every book you read.
Hold on a second.
We didn't
online.
We didn't have that.
Test,
yeah, like oh sorry. I'm sorry. On the computer test.
Yeah, okay. That's different.
Sorry.
That is
the
way different.
Probably hadn't been invented yet. I don't know at the point. It was like
Are you talking Number Munchers or Candy
I'm talking
Stand?
About
okay, let's get specific
I'm
here.
I'm talking about Zumbinis, the best of games for the Mac. No. This was like one of those things you had to take a test, like a 10-question test, proving you had read the book to earn the points, so the teachers would give you a competition.
Yeah.
And the end of the year competition for our class, me as one of the best students in the elementary school public school system, which is not a lot to say about because a lot of kids fought already, were in gangs in fifth grade, were competing for the end game prize of a 5-pound chocolate bar.
Ooh, 5 pounds.
5 pounds of chocolate, which is like half my weight at the time. I went ham on every book I could in the library, trying to get the big ones, get a bunch of points because the bigger, the harder the book
right,
was,
right,
the
right.
more points you got. And I actually read all these books. And after a while, halfway through, my rival competitor, a girl named Christine, the smart Asian of the school,
I fucking hate her.
Oh god, you should hate her already. She started pulling ahead by a high point majority.
Yeah.
finally won by like 1,000 points ahead of me. It was like,
wow.
It was like 1,500 to 700. I had bust my ass. Found out she just took those questions without actually reading the books. It's like, yeah, it's all common sense if you understand story structure. Like, clearly Whoa. The boy gets his dog back. I'm like, oh my
Holy
God, I've been
shit.
Fucking frauded.
Dude, that's like real life. Don't try hard at all.
Never try hard.
Ever.
If you do, it's going to bite you in the ass and you're going to hate it.
And you're going to wind up on the podcast like Chad.
You know what's funny is that we know Chad. Josh and I know Chad because Chad was kind of our channel manager at
Maker slash Polaris.
Polaris,
the also known as the Game Station. What was the better name when it was called that?
The better name.
But yeah, I used to work with these guys back on the YouTube days. I was like your guys' like
manager,
life coach, like your manager, essentially.
Life coach, yeah. life coach.
Mostly,
pastor.
You know, mostly what happened was like Paul would call me up and just cry about like an issue he was having in his personal life. That was like 90% of the work I did.
That was 90% of the work. Well, so you were the channel manager kind of for Continue Show, which is the Let's Play that Josh and I kind of do. I say kind of because I kind of do it. Josh really does.
No, you do it. You edit it. That's doing
you,
that's
haunted
like
the inspector.
Yeah, I kind of come around every now and then.
I don't know if most people realize this, but if you just watch random frames of Continue Show, you just pop in like Tyler Durden.
Yeah, it's quite frightening. What's funny is that you were our channel manager, and then as we quickly got to know each other, we were like, oh, we're the same kind of nerd, where we grew up in a suburb of a big city. And, well, not that big for Philadelphia, but we grew up in a suburb, and then we just had the nerd jobs, which are work at a comic book store or a video store or video game store.
Right.
Like, we did that. And we're those suburban nerds who are now making things. 50 episodes.
50 episodes.
Like, a lot.
We did it.
That's a
Congratulations.
Lot.
Congratulations. I had no idea I was going to be on this 50th episode.
Solid pause.
the gravity just hit me. 50. It just hit me.
We've been
Do you guys feel like you've learned a lot in the 50 episodes?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
This is probably more better for wrap-up. Like, what do you feel like you've taken away from fantasy fiction? Like, what have you guys learned so far?
My biggest inspiration is Dom.
My biggest inspiration is
Stan Bush.
I want to say Josh, but it's Stan Bush, number one. If you don't know this, Stan Bush, a.k.a. You Got the Touch,
just called
from
You Got the
Transformers
Touch.
Movie, a.k.a. every awesome song from any 80s movie, he saw Josh's profile on Twitter, by the way, we've been drinking.
I am a bottle of Bailey's Irish Cream down. I'm not going to do well.
I've had a couple of Kensingers and I've had a couple of Genesees. Right?
Oh
I'm doing
God.
Pretty good right now. Josh, what 40 are you drinking, by the way?
Oh, Old English, 800.
Oh, my man going classic.
Dude, I go in and buy it and the lady's like, Jesus Christ, this guy must be ready to kill himself.
Yeah, I'd be like, do not buy this. what were we talking about?
Stan Bush,
the guy who made the touch, the guy who sat down and said, I got to make a song for the Transformers movie. 10 hours later, the touch was born. That guy saw Josh Henderson's profile and clicked follow on Twitter, you guys. That's huge.
Yeah, I don't know
That's
why
huge.
He follows me.
That follows you? Is that the coolest dude who follows you?
I mean, besides you guys follow me.
Oh, no.
But this is the 50th episode. Holy
50th
wow.
Episode.
Oh, my God.
All right. So before we get into our stories here, we're going on a little bit here. But regardless, we're all a little drunk.
Uh-huh.
What did you do this week? I want to start with you, Josh. Anything you watch on TV? Anything you had fun doing?
I downloaded illegally from the internet Red Sonja. And I watched the shit out of Red Sonja.
The Red Sonja featuring not Conan the Barbarian.
His name's Kalidor in that movie.
Kalidor.
Yeah.
They didn't have the rights because Red Sonja, even though there was some crossover,
yes.
The film didn't have the rights to Conan the Barbarian.
Right. So even though he's clearly Conan the Barbarian.
But he shows up for like a second, right?
No, he's in the whole thing. He's in like from the beginning. He's like some high priest or something.
I'm looking at the poster right now. I have not realized there's a Red Sonja movie. I know there's a comic book. Arnold Schwarzenegger is the majority of the poster.
Yeah, oh, he's in it.
It's like a little flexing.
When's the last time you watched Conan the Barbarian?
Dude, it's great.
Like 2 years ago, because I still remember that snake arrow that James L. Jones follows. It's pretty awesome.
Okay, all right. Let me tell you something. Yeah. Too long of a time to have watched Conan the Barbarian.
He's right.
Watch it soon. It's amazing. The soundtrack's amazing. It's a fantastic film. It's perfect, almost. The sequel?
Yeah.
Not as good. Has Grace Jones in it, though?
It does.
Pretty good movie. And Andre the Giant.
The sequel is like a better like fellowship movie in a weird way. Because like it's got like classes, you know, like different
characters.
More
D&D. D&D, sure.
Okay, so who's Grace Jones? Is she like a rogue? No, she wouldn't be a rogue. She'd also be a rogue.
Kind of. No, yeah. She fights with like I think a bow staff, but she's rogue-like.
Rogue-esque. There is a rogue, the thief.
Yeah, and he's the guy who constantly tries to molest the female killer.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
He kind of
made it in.
He kind of gets like, you know, jail time molesty.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the IMDb listing because I've never seen Conan the Destroyer.
Yeah.
Wilt Chamberlain is in it?
Oh, fuck
yes.
Yeah, dude.
Yes, he's a co-star. He's a co-star. It's kind of a crazy movie. It's pretty good, though. People say it's the lesser of the two. I would agree with that, but it's still a very fun film.
It's a great movie.
Especially the ending. The ending is bonkers, but it's totally in Conan fashion.
Yeah, they kind of like go off the rails a little bit, but then at the end they're like, it's Conan, he's Conan, he's back.
He's Conan, he's gonna fight stuff.
Yeah.
Chad, what did you do this week? You see anything fun?
You know, I didn't actually see any new movies other than I watched one about called Sons of Perdition, which is about boys trying to leave the Mormon state in Utah when their families disown them. No one be part of a cult. Not a fun movie. Very sad movie.
That sounds terrible.
I balance that out with me diving into a wealth of comic books. This is going to sound like it's a paid promotional thing. Guys, if you want to ever get into any Marvel series and comic books you never got to read, get Marvel Unlimited. It's fucking great. It's what I always wanted. It is, I don't know if you guys ever have it, it is Netflix for comic books. You pay like $10 a month, and you get to read everything from their library. So, like, they have every old issue. There's, like, you know, 500 issues of Spider-Man, for example. Like,
that's
you know,
awesome.
Marvel is combining all of their universes into one universe. Like, they're going to do this whole, like, everything's the same. We're going to make the comic book world like the movies. It's going to be stupid. People who've read it for years. I've been preparing myself for that major event this summer by reading everything from the Avengers of the last, like, 5 years.
Oh, wow.
And trying to guess which characters lived through. Like, we were talking pre-podcast about Star Trek characters and, like, continuity and stuff like this.
Right.
Marvel's going to basically make this whole thing where, like, hey, you know there's, like, 5 Spider-Men and there's, like, 3 Wolverine. We're just going to pick our favorites and make one new universe where everything's just combined together and it's pretty close to the movies. And we're going to change things to be more like the movie universe because that's making more money. So it's basically stabbing me in the back continually.
Yeah,
like
that's how I feel
really,
about the
a really
Star
good
Trek.
Example. Yeah, it's like how you feel about Star Trek. A really good example is one of my favorite family lines in the Marvel's universe is Magneto and his children, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
This is a long explanation for what I'm doing this week, but you know how in the movies with the Avengers coming out, since Fox owns the movie rights, to
right,
Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver can't be mutants.
Right, so they have to be new. Right,
they're going
to
make them like the Inhumans, so basically just humans that are transformed by Terrigen Mist. That's probably from the. It's a variation of the word mutants. That's all it is.
Okay,
but because that's going to be the new thing in the movies, it's already happened in the comics. There was this really stupid thing a couple months ago where like Scarlet Witch cast a spell that said, "Let everyone who isn't my bloodline be hurt." Like a very convoluted spell to cast in the heat of the moment in a battle, and like Magneto's like, "Why am I being hurt?" And then Scarlet Witch goes, "Oh, no, you must not be actually my dad." And they're clearly going to set up this, like, you're not actually mutants. You're Inhumans. Like, they're just changing everything to fit the movie. So if you read comics...
So it's a Mexican soap opera.
Yeah. So they're basically just going to stomp on everything I've ever held dear in the hopes of being more like the movies.
Let
me spoil comics for you forever. Nothing that happens in comics ever means anything because it's always about creating the next big event to get people to buy comics and then to relaunch series and make issue number one.
I know that's the cold hard truth.
But that's like what is happening with Marvel right now. Not to get too into it, but that's Marvel is essentially ending all storylines and then starting anew with issue number one that follow the kind of storylines that have been inspired by the films.
It's actually very fantasy fiction. They're at least going to combine them all in like this event where like every Wolverine that's ever existed, every Thor that's ever existed is all going to fight on a battle world and see who survives kind of thing. Like, it's just this very like fan.
So it's American Gladiators?
It's like American Gladiators with Turbo and
that's awesome.
The dog Turbo, the movie.
Yes, the dog Turbo. whichever American Gladiators from the new version ended up being a gay porn star, which ended the show.
Okay. You know what I did this week?
No.
What is that?
You don't know, but I'm about to tell you. I watched one of my favorite movies, one of Josh's favorite movies.
Yes.
I hope it's one of Chad's favorite movies. I watched The Natural.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
I was hoping you were going to say Adventures in Babysitting, but that's also pretty good.
The Natural.
Adventures in Babysitting, pretty good. Pretty good. But I watched The Natural. It's one of my favorite movies. And upon watching it this time, you know how it's one of those things where you watch your favorite movie and you always kind of find out something different about it that you love. And that's why it's your favorite movie. One of the things I learned about the film this time is that even though the book and the film are so drastically different,
yes,
I love each for very specific
different reasons. Yeah, the book is very much like a this is real life.
This is what would happen. Yeah. This is what would happen. Yeah. And you're like, oh, this is sad.
It's really depressing. And then the movie is the exact opposite.
The movie is the exact opposite, but that's what movies are supposed to be.
It's beautiful. No, the movie's beautiful.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Have you seen The Natural, Chad?
I realize it's not a movie I've seen, as I said.
Oh,
I've seen
dude.
It.
Chad, this is all you need to know. Mm-hmm. Robert Redford is playing baseball, and he's the best at baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Tune in to the $1 Million Movie this Saturday at 11 p.m. you know, live in Philadelphia, you know what that is.
Yeah, no one knows.
But anyway. The Rookie.
Oh, God, yeah.
The Rookie.
You mean the Rookie of the Year?
Rookie of the Year. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, Rookie of the Year. Okay, all right. Let me bring you back to Rookie of the Year real quick, okay? All right? There's a scene where he's lost it. His arm isn't as good as it used to be because something happened.
He re-breaks it.
He re-breaks it, and he tries to throw a pitch, and he knows he doesn't got the stuff.
Yeah.
So he pitches to his arch enemy, a guy on the Mets, apparently.
No, I think is it the Mets or is it the White Sox?
It's the Mets.
Why would it ever be the White Sox?
The White Sox are the that's Major League.
Major League, you're
White
right.
Sox are the villains of the Major League. The villain in Rookie of the Year are the Mets, and there's a big guy who's like the cleanup hitter, and he hits a pitch at the end of the movie, and he goes, "See ya!" And it's a foul ball. But that when he says "see ya," if you Google search Rookie of the Year "see ya," you'll get just that clip, and it's amazing. It's hilarious. It makes me laugh every time. And with that, we are here with stories of wargs. Wargs, the wolf animal thing.
Wait, Josh, what did Josh do?
I watched Red Sonja, man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You watched Red Sonja, homie. You forgot about that? What was this, a 20-minute intro?
I've had so much Baileys. I'm so dumb. I'm sorry.
Let's go to the first story. Josh, you ready for this shit?
All right, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Let's do this.
All right, gentlemen.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
I am ready. I'm in my
underwear.
We are
ready.
All right, good. My story this week is called "Don't Wargy, Be Happy."
Oh, yes.
I can't believe I have to read. I am very drunk.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Fail me now.
Please, brain, use your thinking powers to get me through this. As the sun went down on another bountiful and adventure-filled day, the citizens of Daranos were still and quiet. a fur beetle crawled slowly across an ancient ruin, while a lava leopard slept quietly in his fire tree, which used to be a regular tree, but it got set on fire by the lava leopard, because death finds a way. All was still. All was right. The beginning of Hot for Teacher could be heard faintly in the distance. The fur beetle stopped and looked up from his extremely pointless existence. The rad intro began to get closer. Suddenly, a boner cycle roared past with a totally tatted out human barbarian atop with sick black leather, two magical swords cross his back, and a disposition that would make your mama say, "Boys, if your daddy had swagger like that, we'd be doing it doggy right now." And you wouldn't have to go over to his house every other weekend as ordered by the courts. Now get in the car. Mama has to fornicate herself with Sexcalibur deeper than the Grand Canyon. Sexcalibur is my dildo.
Oh, man.
What a good dad.
That's a good dad. I would imagine Sexcalibur would be the dad's penis, but I guess
it used to be until the divorce.
Oh, okay. Didn't know about that. Away. Now I do.
My dad had a Sexcalibur. Anyway, damn, the fur beetle said as the barbarian rode past. The barbarian looked back at the beetle and gave it a wink, instantly turning the beetle into a princess. I was really a princess the whole time, and winking cured me of the curse, she said, probably with like a gallon of girl juice in her princess panties. Finn. The credits begin to roll when suddenly a boner cycle rips through the credits screen and tears ass through the night like a hot dick through butter.
Wait, have you tried that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you haven't...
Yeah, what are you not doing?
Hey, it's 2015, dude.
It's
2015, dude.
Yeah, man.
Put your hot dick through some butter.
I do hear Oprah talking about that on her TV show. It's time to put your dick through some butter.
Oh, man. In the distance, the barbarian saw a small gathering of light in a field and turned toward it. As his sweet boner cycle pulled up, he saw a gathering of wargmen all on boner cycles of their own. Well, 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 if it isn't Wolfmanstein. Which is, that's a shout out for Dom. Dom knows who Wolfmanstein
is. Yeah, I know who Wolfmanstein is. Maybe one other guy listening does.
Maybe.
And that's all who's gonna know.
Left out and offended.
Well, 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 if it isn't Wolfmanstein, said the wargman leader, you'll never be a part of our boner bike gang, the god Satans. We're the toughest, roughest, eat a kid's dick right offiest gang in all of Big D. Besides, you're only a werewolf. Only pure-blooded wargmen can join. With this insult, Wolfmanstein revved his sweet ride and began a 13-minute peel-out sesh.
Oh.
When the dust settled, the tire tracks read, "Fuck you, you fucking piece of warg shit," along with a crudely drawn representation of a middle finger and a warg man sucking his own dick.
I need to know, was it in cursive, Josh, or was it not?
Oh, it was totally in cursive. It was like one of those sky planes, like a skywriter.
Ooh.
Yeah, your peel-out skills are pretty good, admitted the warg man leader, but you're still not getting in. Come back in your next life when you're born as something that doesn't suck jizz out of a meat tube. Damn, said a fur beetle who was listening to this whole conversation. The warg leader glanced over and crushed the fur beetle with his boot. Suddenly, the beetle transformed into a prince. I was really a prince the whole time, and crushing me cured me of the cure, except I'm also crushing them all. My bones are broken and I'm dead. The warg leader got back onto his bone hog and revved his cool engine. God, Satans, let's roll this crapsicle stand. Just then, Wolfmanstein took a long, hard peek at the full moons, just like he was peeking at some honey's leg lumps, and absorbed its power, just like he was absorbing the power of a honey-glazed humongous hiney on a hot summer's day if you've been working in the pain mines, or maybe you work at a bank, or like... insurance guy? With
the
that,
worst.
The worst. With that, Wolfmanstein turned into a werewolf, his cool black leather torn off and hung off him like my cool black dick hangs off of me. I I challenge you, Warg Leader, to Bike Gang Olympics, he screamed, sounding like a cool wolf man, and then he lit 12 cigarettes and smoked them all. The Warg Leader stepped off his bike and got into Wolfmanstein's grill. Fine, he said. First event. Verbal. The Warg Leader pulled out a note card. You're walking in the woods one night, he read. Suddenly, you come across Buffcat, ancient and legendary hero to all. Without hesitation, Wolfmanstein interrupted. I rip his cute face off and use my fire scepter, which I totally also have, to shoot fire down his neck hole, cooking him from the inside. Then I write a series of entries in my slam book telling everyone how stupid he is and how nobody can even understand what he says.
Damn. The coldest cut of all.
This is some shit he's saying about Buffcat, beloved, by the way.
Buffcat, right.
I think he's just trying to reach out for attention. I think that's what he's trying to do.
I think so. Wrong, the Warg Leader double interrupted. You get killed because you're a pussy, and when you're a pussy, you better get prepared to get fucked. Argument over. I win. Next round. Children eating. Another Warg suddenly brought out two small children. Wow, are we really going to eat these kids? A voice in the back of the bike gang asked softly. Instantly sensing weakness, the rest of the gang mauled him. To death.
Oh!
After mere seconds, all that remained was a Warg skeleton. The skeleton lay there lifeless for a moment until it looked over and said, Wow, guys, really? The Warg leader began... The Warg leader began to growl at the first child. Are you my mommy? The child asked innocently. The Warg leader lunged toward the child. Wait a minute, this is crazy, he said as he stopped himself. I can't do this. Then he pulled out a shaker of nutmeg and began to sprinkle the child with copious amounts of nutmeg. Fantasy Fiction's lawyers would like to apologize for the interruption. We'd like to make a statement. No actual child was harmed in the writing of the story, and the views and opinions expressed by fictional characters are not those of the author and or narrators. Thank you, and keep on wizarding.
You know what bothers me is that he stopped and seasoned him with nutmeg.
That's disgusting.
It's kind of a weird thing. That's a weird... Okay, I'm going to let you keep going, but that's weird.
No, well, it's more like a baking spice.
It leaves time for
spice.
That boy to think about his death a lot. That's kind of the main problem.
Yeah, right. That was the best innocent child I've ever eaten, said the Warg leader as he licked the blood of the innocent from his chops. His indescribable terror really set off the nutmeg, and when he released his bowels in fear, the Warg leader did the air kiss hand gesture thing that Italians do.
Whoa! Okay, what? That's racist. Okay, all
what?
Right.
What are
I
you
take
saying?
Offense to that.
Just Italians do it.
That's true.
Wait, Dom, are you Italian? This whole time I never knew.
You never knew Dominic Moschitti was Italian?
I don't know if we can be friends as much anymore after what you're
The thing about Italian stereotypes, I'm also Irish, Chad. So mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Real cool then.
is the thing about Irish stereotypes or Italian stereotypes is that they're all true. Everyone really likes pizza and pasta and they eat it all the time.
It's not a bad stereotype.
What an unfair stereotype.
It's
everyone
pretty,
loves pizza.
Pretty positive. Enough, shouted Wolfmanstein as he pulled out a fire whip and cracked it, loosening the second child's restraints. Suddenly, the child turned into a princess. I was really a princess the whole time, and whipping my ropes off cured me of the curse. We finish this now, Warg, said Wolfmanstein pretty seriously. Suddenly, Wolfmanstein drew both swords, and with all his strength, threw one up into space. As it fell back to Earth, it blazed with fire as the friction ignited it into a white-hot lightning bolt of steel. Wolfmanstein caught it and lunged toward the Warg leader. He parried with a pair of magical daggers that made fighting sound effects when you wielded them. Ding! Clash! Pew!
I don't mean to interrupt your amazing story,
no, go ahead.
But if you think about how skillful it is that he threw it up into space...
Yeah.
Knowing that, I'm assuming on the planet that the planet is turning.
Sure.
That the trajectory would come back down as his own object on Earth was still rotating on
he
the planet.
He had to throw it.
He's that
forward.
Good.
Also,
oh my god, I can't even comprehend how well that was done.
You got to know like the directions and shit.
He's been watching some fucking Cosmos.
Neil deGrasse Tyson. where was I? Oh, ting, clash, pew, ting, ping, ching, chong.
dong. Chingy chong, pow, changer, chongy.
Whoa, okay,
ching,
whoa.
Chow, ching, pow, chongy, ching, whoa. Dong. Ching, chong, ding, dong.
The blade said as the warrior leader blocks and parried with the sword attacks. As they reached the edge of the circle of wargs that surrounded them, the crowd pushed them back and became more wild. One ripped his own arm off and started to eat it. Yeah, that dude was crazy. Wolfmanstein finally readied his finisher. He spun both swords around really, really fast in a vertical circular motion. With a quick change of direction, the propeller blade sliced off the warg leader's head while a white-hot space sword cauterized his neck wound.
Jesus.
As his head hit the ground, the gang went crazy. The guy who ripped his own arm off tried to rip his other arm off, but didn't realize he only had one arm left. Yeah. That dude was crazy. Fuck, the warg leader's head said before it died, making sure his last word was the same as the first word he said when he was a baby. Yeah, that dude was a badass. Wolfmanstein walked over and grabbed the dead leader's hand and ripped off a ring from his finger that looked like a Super Bowl ring, but with the words, "Too bad, three furious" on it.
Wait, is that a movie I can see? I want to see that movie.
Coming soon.
They'll make it. He put it on.
I'm the leader now. Anyone who objects, speak up now and,
said a warg from the back. As he did, the gang mauled him to death, and again, a skeleton lay there. After a moment, the skeleton said, "Wow, guys, really? I was just going to say I was totally in."
"Warg riders," Wolf said Wolfmanstein, "mount up!"
As they rode off into the distance, they sang their gang's chant. "Stop, drop, shut him down, smoke a lot of pot. Hey-o, oh, that's how warg riders roll, Finn."
That is how warg riders roll.
Also,
D,
really good
D.
Vin Diesel movie. That'd That's be a right. really good Vin Diesel movie.
That would Dude. Be fantastic.
Well, they're going to steal it from me and make it one, I think.
I think they are. There already are.
Riddick 4, Wargs. Warg Planet.
The Iron Giant 2.
Is that
what
Vin,
else
Diesel?
Is Vin Diesel? In? Yeah, Vin Diesel, dude, is the
yeah,
robot.
He's the.
I didn't know. I had no idea. I knew he was Groot.
Vin
Who
Diesel
else
is pretty legit. He's also like runs a video game company and used to be a pro inline rollerblader. So he's pretty cool,
dude. I'm trying to be an ill inline rollerblader.
Rip pro inline rollerblading, 1996 to 1996.
This in the bowels of Bakersfield, California, which
is that bad?
Only there because the girlfriend's parents live there, but it's not a place you ever really want to be. Just oil fields and desert.
That sounds like all of California.
Oh, more so, no. There's like in LA, you at least can go to, and there's like theaters or a homeless person that can try to yell at you for moving your arms. I had a homeless person yell at me for moving my arms while I tried to walk. That was a guy who yelled at me a couple weeks ago. But like Bakersfield's just. An area where people just made a town in the desert via irrigation and money. So I think this inspired the story in a little bit. So
I'm
if
ready.
It's bad, it's Bakersfield's fault. If it's good, it's Bakersfield's fault. All right. And there's a little bit of a continuity error now between wargs. I hadn't thought about the angle you guys were going to take on it.
Oh, there's no continuity.
Okay.
I interpreted it my own way.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
that's
I
part of the fun.
House. So we'll have to say there's just two different types of wargs.
Sure, why not? Okay. They're all, of course.
All right, this one is called Warg Whispers, : The Cruelest Love of All.
By Chad. Ooh, by Chad. Who's this Chad?
Who is this?
That's right.
He just goes by Chad.
By
he's
Chad.
He's mysterious.
put an accent symbol over it to make it seem more fantasy. In one of the more populated valleys of Daranos, and by populated, I mean an area where people's offspring weren't continually taken by swooping razor bats, was Saul Spineback's Warg Emporium. Saul was a cocky tiefling who had inherited the Warg breeding ranch from his father, who passed away. And by passed away, I mean his father decided he hated selling stinky-ass wargs every day and ran off with a three-boobed elf woman like that lady from Total Recall, which is actually pretty intimidating to me. I mean, I have a hard enough time giving attention to two breasts when I'm doing the dark meat deed as it is. Where was I? Anyway, Saul was a pretty terrible businessman. He often sold his wargs to visitors, mostly by yelling at them and challenging them that their genitals were too small to handle his wares. But today was Zed Day, a holiday across Daranos, where those who recognize Zed's dark power over us all celebrate by stealing something from their neighbors and spending their children's inheritances on things they don't need. Needless to say, this was a big business day for Saul. As customers started to trickle in, Saul thought about all the preparation he had done. Squawk boxes were pumping peppy battle dirges over the lot to encourage shopping.
Peppy like, battle dirges.
Well, let's hear him first. I've never had to knock on wood, because I know someone who has. It makes me wonder if I could.
That song's about
that I get.
That song's about Daranosian AIDS.
I just want to make sure Scott continues on at some point in this fantasy world. Saul was also wearing the leather sales robes his mother left him right before she was taken by the Razorbats. When she said her final departing words, I wish we had lived in another location! And finally, Saul had burned down every other store for a 50 giant step radius, guaranteeing someone would have to stop by, at least to call for help about all the fires. And what did you know it, but fucking the Dark Lord of Butthole Itching, Zed himself. Oh, by the way, yeah, Zed's a Dark Lord I invented who basically just makes your butthole itch. That's his whole...
That's the worst Dark
that's,
Lord.
That's kind of the worst.
That's his whole thing. I just want to make sure you understand I put that into the deity list of a guy. the Dark Lord of Butthole Itching, Zed himself, must have decided to turn his eye onto Saul's terrible little business at that moment, as Saul heard the familiar metal jingling that makes a man's heart soar. And no, not the sound of the mechanized golem handjob bot, but of gold coins bouncing around in large quantity.
Saul, dude, how do I get one of those handjob bots?
It's a lot. You got to put your whole life into it. Also, you got to take someone's soul and put it into handjob bot.
It's a bit of a thing.
Wow.
Yeah. It's worth it, but it takes a little bit.
Yeah, okay. I'm following like the rules for golems. You got to like kill someone. So basically, you got to like put their soul in a robot or in a stone golem.
Sounds like a lot of work.
You got to pick someone who you think would be good for having their entire life be about handjobs.
Chad.
Oh, nailed it. That is true. I got these dainty hands. So a handjob bot, he exists. Anyway, Saul spun to the source of the noise, ignoring the sale he was in the middle of making to a happy orc mother who was immediately devoured by the nearby warg. But it's for my son's birthday, she cried as the warg crushed her skull like a cherry or strawberry gusher.
Holy yes, shit!
Pretty delicious. And yes, two mothers have already died in this story. Well, actually, technically three, as way across on the other side of Daranos, another mother sacrificed herself to save the life of a chosen warrior boy who was fated to one day either save or destroy both Orcspire and Daranos?
Oh, what?
But that's a plot for someone to quiver over on episode 100. Maybe Chad can come back and do that. I'm not sure how well he's been received on the listeners right now. Maybe fantasy fiction will be so popular by then the guest will be someone like Rob Lowe or Stevie Nicks at that point. But yeah, there are a lot of dead mothers in this story, despite Chad's mother being pretty amazing and not at all an inspiration for this story.
I just wanted to say, if we can get Stevie Nicks, I'm pretty stoked. Okay?
I think she would.
That would be.
Let's make that happen.
That would be
Chad.
Better than Stan Bush following you on Twitter.
She's an American Horror Story at this point. I think you're pretty sure you can get Stevie Nicks.
Oh, really?
Oh, dude. By the way, American Horror Story, batshit terrible. There's a whole season with witches where just the one episode just starts with Stevie Nicks just singing. And she just shows up and starts cursing all the witches and, like, hangs out with witches. And there's no explanation
of,
like,
Stevie Nicks.
Why is Stevie Nicks here?
Yeah, that doesn't sound like anything out of the ordinary that she does.
So I think she's gettable. And you probably put your sights on her to cover this major plot I just set up for your 100th episode. Anyway, Saul was now looking at the source of the golden jangling. A large, portly human male was running into his lot. Somehow, flowing out of this man's right hand appeared to be an endless geyser of golden coins.
Wow.
As Saul squinted his greasy little eyes, he could make it out. The gold coins were manifesting out of thin air from a glowing, enchanted ring on the man's hand.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. This actually hadn't been the first time Saul had seen an enchanted object like that. His friend Barak once had an amulet that produced endless fried onion rings. But as anyone who's ever spent time with a Golden Corral buffet and then had to be in their bathroom, we all know you can have too much of a good thing.
That's
you know,
true.
Because you poop a lot. Chocolate fondue. As the man ran up to him, a large crowd was following. A few young page boys right behind him seemed to be in charge of collecting the coins as they manifested in front of them, saving and inventorying them. Behind them were family and friends of the man who were seeking debts owed to them to be paid back, including that dude Gary, who still brings up that you owe him tickets to the Avengers, even though that was years ago.
And Gary!
Soda, and a goddamn asshole Gary, even though you bought soda and the popcorn, which is totally equivalent to the price of a ticket, but whatever, I guess he wasn't keeping track of every goddamn Reese's Pieces he was grabbing from your bag while you're just trying to watch Iron Man light stuff up. Anyway, behind that asshole Gary were 100 or so people who were living off the spillover gold. Goddamn motherfucker Gary. Seriously, it's like a lot of money for popcorn. Anyway, the man, who we never get to find out organically in this story, was named Charleston III, who approached Saul, who was having trouble hiding his drool and his money boner at the same time.
Oh my good tiefling, please help me, he exclaimed. I was bequeathed this magical ring by an ancestor, and what I once thought was a blessing is now a curse. The money never stops. Those people behind me are basically their own town now. They elected a dog as their mayor.
Which can happen. Boy, said Saul, your situation, sir, seems like a perfect analogy for the uber-rich. Being given money they didn't earn, not knowing what to do with it, and having people try to survive off the trickle-down economics that the Conservative Party likes to champion.
Goddamn Ronald Reagan.
This is too true. This is too true.
I'm sorry to get real on this. Yes, said Charleston. I need some way to offload all this wealth. I thought about donating it all to charity, but you can't trust those people, which is also true.
Yes.
Also true, yes.
You're just further proving my analogy, said Saul in a moment of perfect clarity before Zed reached out from the dark realm and snapped Saul back into his skeezy self.
Whoa.
What can I do for you, stranger? We have a fine selection of wargs. Wargs that can survive off animal bones. XL wargs that more than three people can ride at once. And wargs that are pretty good beasts for marrying, if that's your inclination.
Guys, whoa!
Guys, Saul was a pretty terrible dude with a warg for a wife chained up in his front yard.
Damn, Saul is like Hitler.
Charleston looked over Saul's entire stock, including two that had bred with each other and were eating their own many offspring based off who was least likely to succeed, which is kind of what the show 18 Kids and Counting on TLC is about. None were satisfying enough to Charleston's taste. Just because I got that sweet poon doesn't mean I gotta give it away to the first boy that comes along with a hard sixer, Charleston quoted. A phrase that I don't think is actually a popular colloquialism, but it should be.
It is a Daranos. That shit's canon.
Oh my god, I got my first canon. Well, there's another warg I have in the back that I'd be happy to give you for a ridiculous overpriced amount. But I don't think you want him, said Saul, wiping the sweat from his neck. Nonsense! Produce the warg at once for my eyes to dance over! Saul took him around the back of the shop to a sealed-up cage where some goblin attendants were trying to contain the beast. One was being eaten alive through the cage door, like that velociraptor tank in the beginning of Jurassic Park. You know, where he's all like, shoot her! Shoot her! That's a good movie. They should make more of those.
Well, Chad... Here's the thing.
Wait, what are you telling me? What? Saul had the goblins get things in control and opened up the viewport into the cage. I would love nothing more than to have your money. In fact, I'd sell you my two barbed tiefling dicks if I could. But I have to warn you about buying this guy. Charleston was distracted for a moment, thinking about how Saul's two dicks were arranged before he piped up. So would it be like on top of each other, like a tower? Or side by side? The dicks. Oh, never mind. Why? What's wrong with the creature? See for yourself. Charleston cautiously approached the viewport. Inside was a humongous warg that had metal shrapnel stuck in its face. Holy it was shit. Evil. Like Ray Liotta in all of his movies, evil. Like taking erotic fan fiction off the internet and publishing it as your own original work and turning it into a big international sensation with a movie deal kind of evil.
Oh,
oh, I'm looking at you, 50 Shades. You're on blast.
Oh.
The warg spoke up. I am the warg known as Imperium, king of all wargs, and destined to sit in the hell realm alongside Zed. May he make all buttholes forever itch, screamed the evil warg. He has a bit of a behavioral issue, said Saul. I found him lying in a puddle of acid and knives as a baby and tried to take him in.
And he's knives.
Not, and knives. Just random astro knives.
That's so, Daranos, all right.
That's Daranos for you. But he's not good with really people or anything, really. In fact, the goblins have mentioned that if they hang near his cage for more than 5 minutes, they start to have paralyzing visions of killing their loved ones and investing in timeshares.
The worst.
It's a really bad investment. Charleston was delighted. Oh, he's wonderful. Perhaps if I can sink enough of my money into him, I'll have a chance to rid myself of this tremendous burden and get back to my original life goal of doing mediocre art that's sold in coffee shops. Saul clapped gleefully. Ooh. That's a big thing in LA. I don't know.
Take that, Los Angeles.
Take that, Los Angeles. Your shitty art of the dollar bill is not going to get my $50. Saul and Charleston put their heads together to think of a solution. Meanwhile, the rest of the customers wandered aimlessly, wishing someone could sell them a warg. Charleston's miniature traveling town had continued to devolve and debate. They had become a religious state, worshipping the free bowl of snacks Saul had put out in the front of the store as their new god. Many died in the Grape Suckers Crusades.
Anyway, the Great Suckers Crusades.
It's the best thing in the bowl of snacks. You really want to get those grape suckers. Finally, Saul and Charleston had an idea. Cut to, bam, pow, bam, wow, 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 wow. The warg whisperer, warg whisperer, let him in your homes and he'll tame your dangerous steed with his non-threatening ways. Down the street, a caravan of crewmen arrived. They had all seen scrying spheres. I believe you guys call them all seeing orbs or whatever.
All sea balls.
All sea balls.
Come on, Chad.
Damn it. They had all sea balls and spells meant to capture like a person's speech for manipulation later. Their escapades were then broadcast out to the entirety of Daranos for people who were bored or wished to escape an amazing life of dragons and half-naked wenches. If you're not getting what I'm going for here, they're a reality TV show crew. Mm-hmm. At the front of them was their enigmatic leader, Thrall the Warg Whisperer. He had an assortment of wargs following at his heels that were tame, but also looked like they wanted to die. By the way, this is a different Thrall. Just make sure you know.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, he's been haunted by knowing other people named Thrall all the time.
Mm. It's like being named Michael Jordan.
it's really shitty, yeah. But they still made a career for him.
Right, right.
I am Thrall. I have filled the hole in my life with wargs, which I mean figuratively and not literally, like those warg fucker creeps. Saul growled and quietly put away his warg wedding ring that was inscribed, "We love on all fours." Show me your trouble, warg.
Wedding ring.
Yeah, you get a special wedding ring for your warg. It's like you go to Jared and he's like, here's all the rings you can get. It's for humans or elves, or this one's for wargs and their weird throbbing cocks.
Oh, he
and
went to Jared.
And then they go, it can only be Jared.
Anyway, Thrall goes, show me your troubled warg. Show me the reason Thrall is here in this shithole of a district. He turned to the scrying orb crew and said, can we cut that out? I need to capture the family demo. He came to the evil warg's cage and clapped his hands rapidly. You need to greet the wargs in a sound that threatens them and throws them off balance. This destroys their aggression. He opened the cage and started chanting, hi, ya, ya, ya. Just as he was getting to that part of the song that I forgot, the evil warg chomped down on Thrall,
ripping Return his innocence.
That's the only part anyone remembers. As soon as you get to Return Innocence, everyone forgets. So as soon as he gets to that part,
no, it's like it's, and then it goes truth. Emotion.
Dude,
actually,
yeah.
I feel like there's like a 90% chance you guys have already used that song in Fantasy Fiction, but it just felt it just
we
felt
used
right.
it in something else that I can't tell you what it's from.
Every day of my yeah. life.
It's so good. It's so good, and it's great how white people ripped off Native Americans for their music. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It's pretty great.
Anyway, just as he was getting to that part of the song that I forget, the evil warg chomped down on Thrall, ripping his head and spine from his body, and sending his body spinning like ripping the cord to a Beyblade, which
Jesus.
Is a toy, if you don't know.
Fucking Beyblades, hell yeah.
Pick a Beyblades, yeah, there's an anime about it.
Yeah, man.
His death was broadcast across the land, and the moment would be replayed ad nauseum in end-of-the-year compilation clips, sandwiched between footage of Buff Cat battling a yarn elemental, and an embarrassing moment where Radagast the Wild Wizard messed up the magic skateboard trick and actually dropped into a hellmouth down into the Sixth Realm.
Aww.
Both were pretty good clips.
Yes.
No one in the crew cared about his death because that was good all-seaball entertainment. Imperium shouted out, "Yes, death to those who would try and tame Imperium shall mm-hmm. have their heads and spines removed in other ways resembling popular kids' toys." "Well, that was an idea that didn't really go anywhere," Charleston said, now sitting upon an ever-growing pile of gold coins. "I have another idea. I am besmirched by Imperium, but also would like to keep my head. Let me use my endless fortune to guarantee a happier life." And so it was. Charleston bought Saul's business for an exorbitant sum, giving Saul a new high-paying job, maintaining the Saul and Charleston best friends warg protected habitat.
Aww.
All of Saul's property and the surrounding area was turned into an enclosed valley for Imperium and the now united wargs to live and secretly build a warg army. People know now not to go over that mountain ridge, lest you be taken away by one of Imperium's patrols. But what a good Zed day it was. The end.
What a great oh. story, Chad.
Thank
what
you.
A great story.
It was like a love letter to Orcspire and Daranos.
And also to Marion Wargs.
It was, dude, it was beautiful. That was great. That was a really, really good story.
Thank you.
I feel a return to innocence after hearing this tale.
We'll be played forever in every Hallmark store forever.
Awesome.
Guys, ready for my tale of rings and wargs?
Oh, oh!
Hootie hoo!
Saturday! Woo woo! Even on Sunday!
Oh! This one is called Ring a Ding Dong!
Oh, yeah! Ring ding dong!
Ring a ding 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 dong!
Keep the heads ringing.
Okay. All right. A tall troll fighter was badly limping through the Gore-Tusk Highlands in the most bodacious land of Orcspire. Two arrows were stuck into his shoulder and an axe in his other shoulder. Buzzards were stalking him. The troll fell to his knees as he approached the river. He dipped his hand into the river stream. As he brought the cool drink to his lips, a fucking warg launched out of the river,
wow,
catching
shit.
The troll's arm right in his drawers.
River what?
It tore that shit off. Also, there was a fucking orc riding that warg, and he lolled when he saw that shit, because he's evil.
Damn!
The troll let out a gurgled scream as he was mid-sip when his arm was torn off his body. Some of the water went down the wrong pipe, and he started coughing, and he thought for a moment that he may never stop coughing.
Ah, dude.
Then he remembered that his arm just got torn off, so he figured death was not too far off.
But the that's worse, though. When you cough like that, that's worse than having your arm
ripped
off.
Oh, my God. You're just like, why?
Or when you're
like
in a public area and everyone starts turning to you to see if you're like, okay, and you're like, I got this. I'm a man. I'm okay.
It's embarrassing.
The orc dismounted and removed his clothes. He laughed butt naked as he pointed a red glowing ring at the troll. A beam shot out, out of the orc's ring, blowing away the flesh and bone off the troll's head.
Jesus.
The orc put his clothes back on and hopped back on the warg. Two other orcs riding wargs pulled up right behind him. Way to murder that guy, said one orc. Thanks, dude, said the murderer as he blew on his ring like a smoking gun. The orcs waited in silence for a moment as the other orc started. Hey, why did you have to get naked? The biggest fan of senseless killing held the ring close to his eyeball and dramatically said, because the ring is too powerful. Sometimes it burns off my clothes if the warg steps in a pothole when I'm beaming and I lose my aim, you know? Yeah, we hear you, said the other orc simultaneously as they tried to remember how good the orc looked butt-ass and hoped he would do it again soon. The hot sun set directly behind the remainder of the troll's body. As it did, the body caught fire, and he burned to death.
Wow! That's oh my god, died. That poor
That's
guy.
Fucking
yeah,
horrible.
It's a sad story.
Can you tell Jesus. Me, did he do anything? Was he a bad guy, though? Or was he like a good guy?
I'm sorry, this is a prelogue? Okay, now we're getting to the story.
Chad, please fantasy fiction.
I think he was
come
a good
up,
guy.
Come
I,
to
think,
that conclusion
I think he
yourself.
Was a neutral guy who like abandoned his kids, but he made up for it in the end as being a good person right before he died.
You I mean like that Super Bowl commercial with Cats in the Cradle playing?
Oh, yeah, which ends at the before the end of the sad part of the song where the son yeah. doesn't have time for his dad anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, we wrapped it all up. Get it. Buy a Honda.
Hyundai.
Or whatever it is. A beer. Whatever.
Yeah.
If you missed out on your kid's life, buy this car. You'll reconnect with your child.
Please continue.
Just west of this most righteous fatality, another troll fighter was Tai Chien. This dude had found a center, and he was just chilling on it. He was balancing on a single twig, on a branch that was sinking into a swamp, as he balanced a feather on his fingertip.
Holy shit.
Holy shit.
And a moon ant was doing a handstand on that feather. It what? Also helped that his thick dangler was acting as a counterweight.
Wait, was he naked too?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to say he was naked, but... It was poking out.
How do you do Tai Chi, Chad? I do
yeah,
it
how
naked.
Do you do Tai Chi? You put clothes
liked,
on, or?
I like to wrap myself up in as many blankets as possible, so I look like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. I
gotcha.
Tell if my form is right or wrong.
Gotcha. Out of the corner of his eye, he spotted a buzzard flying by. He flipped up the feather in his hand and threw it like a javelin, piercing right through the buzzard's neck.
Holy
the buzzard,
shit.
The buzzard fell to the ground. How dare you insult the true hunters of these plains, shouted a voice. The troll calmly turned his head to find two gnoll hunters with arrows notched in their crossbows.
Whoa.
Like three arrows in each crossbow at least. We've been hunting that buzzard for weeks, and we were just about to kill him until you ruined everything, you feathery fuck, said the other gnoll. The troll said nothing as he pulled a red bandana across his forehead. He leaped into the air and flying kicked right at the punk-ass gnoll who tried to say some shit to my homeboy. The gnoll fired his arrow and it struck the troll's foot, but his calluses were so tough that the arrow deflected right off his heel and pierced the other gnoll's lipstick, tearing it right off and sticking into a tree. The gnoll managed to sheepishly mutter, mother, at the troll's heel connected with his head, exploding it.
Is this one of the most powerful people in the entire world? This seems
yes,
like
one of, he's one of those guys.
Okay, he seems pretty high tier. I'm just saying.
High tier, yeah.
The troll wiped the blood from his heel on the grass as he turned to the other dagless gnoll who had already started running away. The troll put up his fist and squinted his eyes, focusing on the gnoll. The troll's name was Chief, and he was the chief of kicking ass. The chief punched out a wicked punch. A sonic wave of brutal punch force broke the sound barrier and caught up with the gnoll and cracked upon the back of his skull, giving him a serious concussion that would leave him sidelined to 4 to 6 weeks and leave him flatlined for the rest of his life.
Jesus, damn!
Another buzzard flew above. A blood-covered scroll dropped at the chief's feet. He picked it up and unrolled it. "Dear Chief," read the scroll, "meet me at the river. Your brother, Dave. P.S. I love to eat hot shit." Chief was happy to hear a letter from his little battle brother, but the whole eating hot shit thing tipped him off. Something wasn't right here. Chief Lion kicked to the highlands.
Wait, don't knock it until you try it. Has any of us tried it? We should make that set.
Yeah, you know what? I want to make that annotation. If you haven't eaten hot shit, I haven't either, but who knows?
Who knows? It could be great.
It's actually pretty great. Maybe it's like a hoagie. Sorry, continue.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Exactly.
Chief Lion kicked across the highlands, landing directly near the river. Right before him lay the charred remains of his brother Dave.
Oh, no.
Chief fell to his knees in shock. The naked laugh of a familiar orc came out from some nearby bushes. "Ha ha ha, Chief, you sweaty old bitch," said the naked orc, popping a wheelie on his warg. He held out his ring yet again, this time glowing blue.
Wait, I'm sorry. Please explain how a warg does a wheelie. I can see it, but I want to
like this, like this.
So just runs at speed in place, like a cartoon?
Yeah, that's how wargs pop wheelies.
Yeah, duh.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
"Crimp it," said the troll sharply. He watched as the ripped, chiseled, defined, naked body of the orc almost muscle bounced his way towards him.
Jesus.
Dick's got hard 3 towns. "Fuck you, you fucking fuck," said Crimpet the orc as he pointed his ring at Chief and shot a frost beam right into his right arm, freezing it so bad that it turned black and fell off.
Jesus.
Wow.
Chief screamed as his arm froze away. He clenched his left fist and lifted it to the sky. On his middle finger was a purple ring that began to glow. Crimpet's army gathered at the top of a nearby hill to watch, but they didn't expect Chief's ring to shoot 17 purple laser beams out at once and sniping dudes' heads off.
Who would have expected that shit?
No one.
Specifically 17 and not like 16 or 18, which is more of an even number.
Which is more of a realistic thing. Which is more of a realistic thing, let's be honest.
Yeah, I think if you're making a magic ring, you go with an even number that just sounds good.
Right.
Yeah, 17 is a little odd. For many
it's a prime number.
The remaining troops charged the troll as Crimpet's dick got scared and went back inside his body. Crimpet Tokyo drifted to safety as Chief began fighting for his life. Magic laser beams were shooting everywhere, decapitating all kinds of orcs. Suddenly, a songbook stood on a tiny rock nearby and began to sing. Ring heroes, fucking guys riding around on wargs. They got magic rings in the Gortusk Highlands, the land where it's basically a 24/7 showdown. Kind of like how my life is a 24/7 bro-down. Somebody call my mom and tell her I take drugs. Somebody fucking tell my mom that I fucking take drugs. I take drugs and I shoot downtown to my natural body. And just let my body be free. I let myself be me. I'll be chilling ass bug with my BBC, yeah. BBC, yeah. S&D, yeah. Chilling with me, yeah. A someone with a black ass dick.
Oh my god!
Dead Tom, I just want to bring up, we both said that we have black dicks in our stories.
Why? And, Josh, what? 50 episodes we've been doing this.
Dude.
Why do we always kind of write about the same thing?
I don't know. And we also brought up 2 Fast and the Furious movie titles.
Two different movies. 2 different Fast and Furious movies.
That's
guys,
so
I
weird.
I don't want to jinx it, but I mean, like, I didn't mention it, but Imperium.
Yeah.
Two big black dicks.
Dude. There it is.
Oh.
That's true.
The songbug's black dick was hanging on a sweet chariot. but was not noticed on this day because the most extreme beams were shooting out of rings and exploding dudes' lives away. There was a shit ton of fighting going on. Blood and teeth were flying everywhere. One dude was using a barbell with 300 wooden pounds on it like a motherfucking bow staff.
Holy shit.
Because his magic ring gave him strength. But it didn't matter anyway, because Chief just hard blocked that shit, you know? Shit was wild. An hour later, all that remained on the blood-soaked Highlands were Crimpet and Chief. Crimpet dismounted and disrobed once more. In an effort of intimidation, Chief disrobed as well. Oh. It worked. His BGC was like a goddamn pendulum, swinging back and forth, chiming on each dangle. The two came face to face. Crimpet backhanded Chief, but Chief didn't move a goddamn inch. The troll punched his fist through the orc's heart, and his heart flew out and hit a tree and exploded against a tree branch. Crimpet looked into Chief's eyes as blood trickled down his lip. Crimpet opened his mouth and muttered, "Why you gotta do me like this?"
The manliest fight.
Chief said nothing as he walked away.
Oh my god.
Crimpet struggled to stay alive. The orc fell to his knees. Chief took a step back and made a suck it gesture.
Oh, yeah.
Crimpet looked at the weighted bait. Upon it was an orange dangler ring. And out of it shot the craziest, hottest, most insane laser beam that blasted Crimpet away until he was dust. Sad music played as Chief walked away from the battlefield. He shed a single tear. Today he lost a friend, a partner, a brother.
Oh.
"Rest in peace, David," said Chief as he walked into the sunset. Credits roll. No after credits scene. You think there would be, but... Dude just lost his brother.
Yeah.
Get out of the theater, dude.
Go home.
The end.
Yeah.
God. Holy shit, the manliness.
What a, oh, god damn it.
What a great story.
You know what I wish that story had? More dick. I wish
more BBCs.
More BBCs.
More BBC.
Yeah.
Dude, we were at MagFest and we were like looking at the Craigslist listings for MagFest.
Yeah. MagFest.
MagFest. One was like BBC looking to fuck.
Yeah.
We clicked on it and it was
BBC.
It was a huge black boner.
Yeah, it was a total BBC.
Wait, were there people trying to get laid at MagFest specifically on Craigslist? Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude, it's a whole thing.
There was one infamous one that was like, would love to eat holes.
Buttholes. Yeah.
Yeah. Talking about.
There was some dude wanted to just eat some buttholes, dude. He didn't care.
That's like seeing people like who do, you know, those like the live stream events, Amazing Games Done Quick, those speedrunner marathons.
Yeah.
There's people you can find on Twitter who seem to not be doing it as a joke, are just openly talking on Twitter how they hope to get like laid during the speed game marathon. I'm like,
okay.
Why is that where you're going to get some poon? Like, why is that your whole...
Hey, man, you go anywhere.
Specifically, also a place where people get things done quick. Is that really when you're going
right.
to get some action?
That sounds terrible, right? Like,
you play games so good, bro,
yeah.
that I gotta do you.
I hope it's less than 50 it. Seconds, because that's the world record.
Oh! Hey, thank you, everyone, for listening to episode 50 of Fantasy Fiction.
Hell yeah.
Holy shit, 50 episodes.
50 freaking episodes.
Well, this is my first time on the show. I feel like I've been with you guys in spirit this whole time.
You have been, Chad. You have been.
Like that shot at the end of Return of the Jedi where there's just a bunch of ghost dads staring at you.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I want to ask you guys, in case I didn't ask you already, what have you guys felt like you've learned? Like, what have you guys learned about each other? What have you learned about your writing? What have you learned about
man.
I've learned that the crazy spirals that my brain goes in every day whenever I think about something sometimes turn out to be funny.
I've learned that... still, even from the beginning, Dom is my main inspiration for doing this. Making Dom laugh is the best thing in the world.
Well, and making Josh laugh is honestly the most fun thing, and that's why the show is so much fun, is because we're just being idiots.
Yep.
Sure. I've learned as a listener of, I think, pretty much every episode since you guys started, that there's a lot to say about embracing, like, the crazy ideas in your brain, and a lot of people, like, poo-poo, even just the idea of, like, just personally publishing your stuff online.
Yeah.
Like my old song, like the Venture Hedgehog fan fiction you'll never find on LiveJournal. But,
sure, I won't.
But there's some nuggets of genius in anything, and
yeah,
it's still
absolutely
better than not saying something.
And Chad,
yes,
what did you learn by writing a fantasy fiction?
I learned that I seem to have a lot of issues with parental roles that hadn't worked out yet. I guess
Your mom seems to be a big part of your life.
Yeah, I love my mom. So it's interesting. I went to a place where my mom or a motherly figure kept dying. I think because of my mind, that's the worst thing that could happen.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah,
it is pretty bad.
So I was trying to go to like a kill your darlings kind of thing because sadly they laugh.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely.
I was trying to follow the Joss Whedon rule of like you're pretty happy for a second and then your favorite character just dies. That's pretty much every Joss Whedon show.
Yeah.
I could say I'm going to start affecting that my normal writing for real life work. I think a lot of mothers are going to die. I think that's going to happen. I'm working on a kid's show right now, and I'm pretty sure the mother of that show is going to die at some point.
You got your sights on her.
I looked up the Enigma Return to Innocence song, just the music video. I somehow had not watched the music video for it. You need to watch just at some point after you listen to this podcast. Batshit crazy. It's mostly just things happening in backwards. It's like a lady just cutting grapes from a tree, or an old man playing just throwing a ball on the dirt.
Chad, that's life, man.
That's life, dude. That's the return to innocence.
Yeah,
there's a shot of an old man cutting cheese. That's all he is. Not like farting. Just literally just sitting on a table and eating cheese.
Not like farting.
But that is what the artistic choice this artist decided to go with his Native American stealing ripoff song. Return to innocence.
Hey, yeah. You, listener, I know you're wondering, you're saying, how can I support this show that I enjoy?
Yes.
Well, there's many ways you can do it. You can sign up for the Audible trial at audible.com/fantasyfiction.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the URL? I think that is the URL.
I think that's correct.
Reese's and Snickerdoodle usually do it, so I'm not too excited. So just re-listen to the intro of the episode. You'll find the URL.
Get it right, Snickerdoodle.
If you want to help out the show, that's a way to help out. You can also stop by our merch store if you want to get stickers or buttons or a t-shirt or a hoodie. It's fantasyfiction.bigcartel.com. You can also leave us a review on iTunes. And I have one right here by Heisendoodle, and it's titled Throughout History, and it says, Dom and Josh are truly epic poets of our time.
Wow.
These stories and tales of pure fantasy shall be passed on to my children, my children's children, and into the eventual collapse of our solar system.
Holy shit.
When they ask for granddaddy's advice on anything, they will receive the only advice. Keep on wizarding.
That's like maybe the best review I've ever read.
Sure. Heisendoodle, you did it, baby.
And also the reason why Heisendoodle will have his children taken away by protective services.
Eventually. Okay.
Well, we're doing him a fucking favor.
Oh, the kids are going to be great. They're going to grow up to be Batman. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, that's why it's going to happen.
It's going to be a rough first couple of years. You can also follow us on Twitter at FantasyFicPod.
Do you guys plug your personal Twitters? You should.
No, we
never do, but I'm at Dom Mosquiti if you take the time to look up how that's spelled. And he's Henderson 1983. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so follow us, tweet us, fave us, retweet us. It's the only way we feel alive.
Those iTunes reviews legitimately real help. I know if you're like, oh, I hate Steve Jobs. I'm glad he's dead, that son of a bitch. You don't want to go on iTunes? The reviews legitimately help. Goosebuds actually is seeing the results of fans going and giving awesome reviews as is right now. Like it helps out fantasy fiction.
I'm doing one right now. Hold on. Let me do it.
Okay.
Wait, you're just going to leave a review?
Yeah.
You haven't done that yet?
No.
Whoa.
I'm doing it right now. I saved it for the goosebumps.
Goosebuds.
Goosebuds, Josh. Jesus, not on the podcast anymore.
You know what? We're getting out of here.
I found it. Oh, I got to sign in. I don't remember my iTunes password.
Make up a new one. Steve Jobs doesn't care.
People write sometimes that are like, I love the show. Sorry I haven't left an iTunes review.
Yeah.
And I always respond, don't worry. I don't know what my iTunes password is.
Dude, I never. Dude, I have to change it every time.
Every time I have to reset the password, dude. It's ridiculous. But hey, we've gone on long enough.
Yes.
Thank you guys for listening to 50 episodes, or just one episode if this is the first episode that you're listening to. Thank you for giving us a shot, listening to the show. We love doing it. We love making you guys laugh. And thank you so much for supporting us through almost 2 years in the show.
Congratulations.
It took us a while to get to 50, but here we are.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you, Chad.
Thank you, Chad, for joining us. Your story was great.
Thank you very much. I'm honored.
I think you really get it, man. You're
absolutely
one of us. You're a brother.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That means everything to me.
I hope I am on the 50th episode of Goosebuds.
You're going to be
on episode,
you'll
be on the next
episode
one,
6 and episode 50 and episode 22 and episode 43.
I'm going to write these down. Hold on.
Okay.
But check out Goosebuds if you haven't yet. It's a fun time. We love doing the show. But until next week, Chad, you're the guest.
Chad has to do it.
Do I get to say it? Oh, shit. Yeah. All right. Until next time, keep on wizarding.
Yeah.
Keep on wizarding.
Wizard until
thank
I
you.
Die.
Josh?
Keep on wizarding.
Keep on wizarding, everyone. Have a good week. Thank you so much, and take care. And hey, be you.
That's right.
Hey,
have
kiss,
a good one, guys.
Kiss your mothers.
No, kiss your mother, kiss your father, call your grandpa and say hello.
Kiss,
good night.
Kiss your dog because they die quicker than your mom and dad sometimes.
No.
Josh, don't bring this into the real world.
Keep
dude.
On wizarding.
Bye-bye, everyone. Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.